Good morning. Will you guys stand with me as I read John 15, 1 through 5? I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it can be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then. Thank you.
Amen. You guys may have a seat. Good morning and welcome to Grace Meadows Church. Hope you guys are well. We are in our second week of our Abide series, and we're going to be here all fall long, all right? So get settled in. It's going to be a great, great fall. Last week, what we talked about essentially was the true vine, that the source of life comes from the vine, not from the branches, that we are the branches, Jesus is the vine. Our job, really, first and foremost, is just to stay connected to him relationally, to not think about outcomes, to not think about doing, but just sit with him, relationally connect to him. And this week, we're going to talk about the fact that when you are connected to the vine, eventually there will be pruning. The reality is there will be pruning. Today's message is titled, The Power of Pruning. If I asked you, show of hands, who wants to bear more fruit in their lives this year, I would say everybody probably would raise their hands. But if I asked you, who wants to get cut back this year, I would say almost nobody would raise their hands. We want that third option. Wouldn't that be great to experience prosperity and a lot of fruit in our lives? I know over the years I have negotiated with God. Prayer is kind of like this. God, give me the opportunity to demonstrate to you that winning the lottery won't change my character. Things like that. You ever done that? You ever negotiated with God? Give me the prosperity and give me the growth in that internal fruit. Obviously, we know. It's not really realistic, though, is it? Some of the best internal fruit is produced in pruning, not prosperity. Growth often happens through difficulty, not ease. Silver and gold are refined by fire. Muscles are grown through resistance and through tearing. Trees get healthier and grow more fruit through pruning. Transformation happens in the uncomfortable. And for the Christian, the cross itself is the very way into life. Frederick Dale Bruner once said this about pruning. He said, cutting back or pruning is not a painless procedure for the object. The activity even seems at first sight superficially to be harmful or counterproductive. But orchardists, farmers, and even home gardeners tell us that this seemingly harsh or backward procedure is actually good and is intended, indeed fruitful for plants. A possible encouragement in this picture for some disciples is that some can see these experiences in which they may be in as hurtful, cutting back, severance, or reduction of influence, but nevertheless, in the light of our text, can say to themselves, in hope, pruning, and so gain a whole new perspective. The Lord's own deepest pruning was the cross. Faithful disciples, too, it is promised again and again in the Gospels, will have their crosses or prunings. But in 3 days, the harvest of the empty grave and the reality of life follow Jesus' cross. Something comparably miraculous and fruitful waits on the other side of every faithful disciple's prunings and crosses. See, pruning hurts. There's no doubt about it. Pruning hurts. But it is necessary in order for that branch to produce more fruit. This is great encouragement whenever we get into John 15 and we see that when pain happens, when discouragement happens, when disappointment happens, when your influence is diminished, whatever the case is, you can look at that and you can say, more fruit is coming. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5 is truly read for us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. So if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, catch this progression about fruit in just these five verses, all right? First, you have no fruit, and then you have fruit, and then you have more fruit, and then you have much fruit, all right? And here's the sequence. Apart from him, abiding in him, pruning, and then staying through the pruning. That's the process. That's what Jesus is saying here, is oftentimes we think pruning is happening because we're not doing a very good job. But in reality, what Jesus is saying here is that oftentimes pruning is happening really because you didn't deserve to be cut back. Because you are producing fruit, and you can produce much more fruit through pruning. That's the point here. You see apart from him, you see connected to him, you see pruning, and then you see staying with him through the pruning. So, you're going to get tired of hearing me say this today, but I want to do it this way so that you will get the picture. Next time you go through something, you can say, pruning, pruning. Let the alarm bell go off in your mind to say, this is an opportunity. Now, granted, we take a step back and we go, look, can we ever say that this situation is totally good? No. There's sometimes things that happen that are very painful, but God can use those for pruning. So next time you go through something, you can say, this is an opportunity where more fruit and even much fruit can come in my life. Now, by pruning, we're talking about the process of cutting the branches back in order to rid it of deadness and ultimately allow it to produce even more fruit. Like we said last week, we are the branches, and even in a tree that is producing good fruit, even in a branch that is healthy, there is still some deadness of the leaves, maybe some weaknesses in the branches, and so pruning allows that branch now to produce more fruit. See, what will happen for a tree is really two things when there's deadness in it. Number one, that deadness will spread quickly, and it can make its way like a cancer throughout the whole tree, and actually can even infect trees close around it as well. And the second thing that oftentimes happens is the tree will spend more energy trying to keep that deadness on life support than it will trying to actually produce fruit. So what happens is everything stays sort of at a screeching halt in terms of life being produced in those branches. Because what the tree's going to do is it's just going to try to get to that deadness and keep it alive. Now, we would never do this, would we? We don't ever hold on to things that are killing us, do we? Oftentimes, we can do that. I know as a silly example, I was thinking, every night that we have it, about 10 o'clock, I would like to go in that freezer and get some ice cream because I love ice cream. And it used to be I could eat that all I wanted to, all the time, didn't do anything. Now that I'm in my approaching late 30s, I get some ice cream. Next day, I can't even put my belt on. I mean, it's a wild time, right? But we do that. Don't we do that? So many things we know that are killing us, we just continue to step into over and over again. It's like that Eye of Mordor, if you've ever seen Lord of the Rings. Just we're drawn into certain things, and we know that those certain things are killing us, but we just keep going back to them. That's what the tree does when there's deadness. It'll go right to it and keep it on life support. But God, the Father, in his grace, the gardener, what he will do is he has an entirely different approach. He says, if there's deadness, what I want to do is I want to cut that deadness off so that there can be more life and more fruit can happen in the life of that tree. That's the Christian faith. Sometimes we have a hard time cutting stuff off, but God, in his love for us, he will go ahead and cut off the deadness so that more and more and more life can be produced. Now, pruning sometimes can feel a lot like dying. The cross itself feels like dying, but in reality, it ultimately is meant to produce life and freedom. Transformation is uncomfortable. It's unnatural. It doesn't feel right sometimes, and yet it is right for us to live into freedom. That's the same thing with pruning. It feels like things are dying, but in reality, more and more and more fruit will bear. See, here's a picture of a pruned tree, all right? It even looks dead, doesn't it? It almost looks like a dead tree. It's been cut back. It's not really bearing any fruit right now, so it looks like it's almost dead, but it's actually never been more alive. Why? Two reasons. Number one, the gardener has cut the branches back to where now that branch is closer to the vine than it's ever probably been. Just like we, when we're cut back, we are closer to Jesus probably than we've ever really been. And secondly, he's removing some of that deadness that's still in us. Even though there's being fruit being produced, there's still deadness in us that he's trying to remove. It looks like dying, and maybe even feels like dying when pruning is happening, but yet it's being set up for more life and more fruit ahead. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like through the cutting, things are dying, and yet, even though it feels like a setback, sometimes God is using it for a set up? It's very similar to the refining process. Joby Martin was talking recently about a silversmith, what they do to refine silver. They will put that right in the middle of the hottest part of the fire, and then the way that they know that it's done refining is when you can see the silversmith's reflection in the silver. And that's what Jesus does. That's what God does with our pruning, is he's making us more and more and more and more like Jesus. He's cutting back, but to produce much more fruit. There's a story I want to talk through from Genesis chapter 37 going through 50. And it's probably my favorite story, probably in all the scriptures. It's Joseph, story of Joseph. And if you don't know about this story, there's a lot of pruning that happens for Joseph. He's got a lot of brothers, but his dad makes it be known early on that Joseph is the favorite, which parents, bad move. You can't do that. Even if you have, first of all, you're not supposed to pick favorites, but even if you have a favorite, you can't make it be known. It has to be a secret. You can't tell all your kids that, which is why I think my parents, that's probably why my parents never told me I was a favorite. They're just keeping it secret, I bet. So what he does is he makes this very colorful jacket or robe for him to parade around in front of his brothers. I mean, you almost imagine Joseph is probably like, it's getting a little bit cold outside. Let me just put my multicolored coat on. And you've got to think, these brothers don't like that very much. So one day, Joseph has a dream. And also a side note, you don't have to tell everybody about your dreams. So he comes up, he has his dream, and he says, hey, brothers, I don't really get it, but like I had this dream that you guys are just like all bowing down to me and stuff. I don't really understand it. And also, like the moon and the stars were bowing down to me and stuff. I don't really understand it, but I don't know. Well, the brothers had enough of him at this point. Said, let's get rid of this dreamer right now. So they throw him in a pit, pruning. And then they decide, you know what? This is our brother. Let's, instead of just letting him die there, let's make some money off of him. Let's just sell him into slavery. More pruning. So then he goes to Egypt, and he's in the home of Potiphar. And of course, he's trying to earn favor. He's trying to do a good job, you know? Well, one day, Potiphar's wife makes some advances on him sexually. And to his credit, he refuses. But over time, she doesn't like his refusal, so what she does is accuse him of the exact thing that he refused to do. So Potiphar is mad, and he says, you're going straight to the dungeon under the palace. More pruning. So he endures some time in the prison, and then the cupbearer for the Pharaoh also comes down to the dungeon prison. And he has a dream, and Joseph interprets this dream, and he says, here's what your dream means. Guess what? Your position is going to be restored as a cupbearer for the Pharaoh. Congratulations, that's amazing. So sure enough, what happens? His position is restored as cupbearer to the Pharaoh. But cupbearer forgets about Joseph. More pruning. Spends a couple more years in the prison. Until one day, the Pharaoh himself is struggling with some dreams and interpreting those dreams. So the cupbearer goes, oh, yeah, that's right. There was this dude in your prison a couple years back who said, my dreams were this. So they bring up Joseph. And Joseph earns a lot of favor quickly with the Pharaoh. In fact, so much favor that he becomes second in command in all, basically all the known world. And really first in command because the Pharaoh just lets him do what he thinks is best. Power like you wouldn't believe. So now, he's in this position of power, and there's a big famine that comes through. Sure enough, These brothers are looking for food. And where do they have to go? In front of Joseph. Now, when they come, Joseph knows right away it's them, but they don't recognize him. He had been a distant memory. They weren't even thinking about him. And you see this tension, this emotion, where he goes out of the room and he comes back and forth and all these different things. But then finally, with all the power on earth, he decides in chapter 43 to kill an animal and invite them over for dinner. Now imagine that. All you've gone through, probably 13 years worth, and now you come face to face with your brothers. The one you were very quick before to like flash your power around, like, I had this dream, you guys are going to bow down to me. And now he's in this position, and what does he do? Forgives his brothers. Genesis 50 says, you may have intended this for evil, but God took it and used it for good. And he says, I will take care of you all the days of your lives. Now, here's the point. You don't get to that place in your heart when you live in a palace all your life. You get to that place from your time in the prison, not the palace. Much fruit is produced in the prison, not the palace. It's the lows of life that usually produce the most internal fruit for us, not the highs of life. For Joseph, he had a lot of time of pruning so that when this tension was there, he was ready to respond just the way that Jesus would respond. See, he was bearing fruit before this. But through the lows of life, he began to bear much fruit. How many times in your life do you look back and you go, man, at the time, that was rough, but I see that God had really done some things in that. And you may not take the total, you may not say that that situation necessarily was totally good, but you can at least say there was a lot produced in me that bore fruit in my life thereafter. Perhaps to this point, your theology has been a lot like mine. When something happens, it's God's punishment, and I deserve it. But sometimes, cutting back happens precisely because we didn't deserve it. I'm always quick to think about what I did wrong, but sometimes wrong happens to us because we did know wrong. Like we said Wednesday, don't rush to God's punishment. Yes, God gives discipline, but the punishment was absorbed by Jesus Christ on the cross. There is pruning, yes, that happens, but no punishment. For the believer, anyway. See, sometimes in the Christian life, you suffer because you didn't deserve it. So, a couple things to take away. Number one, when cutting back happens, when disappointment happens, the first thing you're going to want to do is know that you can stay very close to the vine. Jesus loves to be in the pain, in the brokenness, in the hard spaces, in the disappointment. He loves to be right there and make his presence known. And when you're cut back, you're never closer to the vine in that moment than you've ever been, all right? The second thing you got to keep in mind is that there is hope ahead that more fruit and even much fruit can happen in your life. In John chapter 12, worship team, you guys can go forward. In John chapter 12, I think it's this hinge moment of time. I wish we talked about this more. I really do. Everybody started following Jesus. I mean, he resurrects this dude, Lazarus, and people go, we were at his funeral, and here he is now alive. This is amazing. Everybody starts following him. They're thinking prosperity's coming. And then Jesus says this line. He says, unless that kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces much more life beyond itself. And people go, whoa, 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 Jesus. Keep doing the signs. Keep bringing about the prosperity. But now you're talking about, because that kernel of wheat, in order for it to die, it has to be crushed, it has to be broken, and it has to die. So how could there be life in that beyond itself? How could that happen? But what Jesus is saying here, and again, The greatest pruning for Jesus was the cross, and now we see the resurrection, that now we no longer have to fear death. Instead, there's much fruit to happen beyond that. So I guess the question really is for us. Next time you go through pruning, and perhaps some of you are going through it right now, can you hold on to that little bit of hope that there is more fruit and much fruit ahead as you just stay connected to the vine? Look to him on the times of challenge and know with hope that there will be more fruit ahead. And perhaps that will be all the strength we need to endure a very difficult time. Frederick Dale Bruner was right. Pruning, much more fruit ahead. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the reality of your word. Thank you for the goodness in it. Thank you for the clarity in which you speak. Thank you that the cutting back isn't for nothing. It's not random. It doesn't slide by you. Thank you that you are a very capable gardener. And I pray as we go from here that, man, there's just a lot of heaviness, I know, in our church, in our community. Would you grant us that little bit of hope to say, pruning, there's more fruit ahead. But you're going to do something in this. You're going to produce life, more and more life abundantly. Father, would you be gracious in that way? How we love you so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's worship together.